Where would you like it?
Just right here, because I do like this. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right.
Okay, everybody. How's everybody today? Good. In this warm day, and it's going to get colder tomorrow, I hear. Anyway, we are looking at Martha today, as Sharon told us, introduced us. But I'm going to start off by saying, what do Jesus' friends look like? What are they called to do? For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at two of Jesus' really good friends, Mary and Martha, who just happen to be sisters. As we will see, their personalities are completely different. But as we'll also see, each of them, in her own way, learns to listen, to love, to serve, and to learn from Jesus. Although you can't have one without the other, today we're looking at Martha. She's front and center. And you can learn and trace her story through three passages in the Gospels. We'll start with Luke, go on to John 11, and John 12. And you sort of can see them as three acts in her play. And you can trace her spiritual life and development through them, which I think is really cool. First, there's a little background about Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. They live in the village of Bethany, which was 2 miles east of Jerusalem, very close. And we know from several passages in the Gospels that Jesus often would stay with them. He was their friend. He loved them. We learned in John's Gospel, it says specifically, Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. We know that Martha was head of the household. She is in charge. And you would expect Lazarus, the man, to be in charge. But he must have been the younger brother. And people speculate that perhaps Mary had been married. She was perhaps a widow who had been married to a rich landowner. And so the house was hers. And so it's Martha's house that Jesus and the disciples go to. We also know that Mary is not afraid of speaking her mind. And she will approach Jesus in a minute as she's busy serving and taking care of him. Because we know that Martha has the gift of hospitality. She definitely has that gift. And it's in a culture where hospitality is really honored. And it's important. Serving friends, strangers, we see that through the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, in Genesis, when three strangers come, they wind up being angels. But he welcomes them just as though they were angels themselves. He doesn't know that, but he does everything to make them feel welcome. And as you read through the book of Acts, you see that Paul is often welcomed into other Christians' homes. So Martha has this gift, and what it's important. And what is even more important, I think, is that right before this story in Luke 10, we have Jesus telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, what is the Good Samaritan about? It's about a man, the Samaritan, who goes over and beyond serving this poor, wretched man who's dying on the road to Jericho. And right after that, I mean, he's busy. He's active. We have the story of Mary and Martha in Martha Act 1. I'm just going to read it. As Jesus and his disciples, this is from Luke 2, 10 I mean, sorry. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one, and Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." The scene in Martha's home, I think, is one that most of us can identify with. She has a house full of guests. There's Jesus, his disciples, and who else who were there. And she is trying to get things on the table. Probably preparations are running behind. She's distraught. She's flustered. She feels overwhelmed. She's anxious. And I think there's a little self-pity in there too. And where was Mary when she needed her? Mary was where the action was. She was with Jesus. She was sitting and learning from Jesus at his feet, which was the posture of a disciple, a man. She's listening to Jesus. And we see that Martha, at this point, has had it. She comes in and she says to Jesus, "Don't you care about me? Tell Mary to get up, come help me in the kitchen," or at least she could at least help me set the table. She wasn't afraid to tell the Lord what to do. And I think it's really interesting. There are a few people in the Gospels who do tell Jesus just what they do. Think of Peter. "No, Jesus, don't do that. No, Jesus." And Mary is one. Martha is one of them. Martha is one of them. She says, "Tell her to do this." But what is Jesus' response? Very gently, I think, he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken from her." What is Jesus saying to Martha? Is serving not important? We know it is important because the Good Samaritan parable is directly before this story. It's necessary. It's needed. It's important. But Martha was using her gift. She was using her gift, but perhaps her need for perfection, her anxiety, her fear of not having enough food, her realization that things weren't going just as she had wanted them to, all came together so that she forgot what was even more important than that preparation. And that was listening to Jesus. She had forgotten that very verse that Jesus had quoted to Satan during the temptation in the wilderness. That verse applied to Martha too. When Jesus said from Deuteronomy, y'all will remember it, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Yes, eating is important. Remember, Jesus fed 5,000 plus people. Serving is important. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But I think here Jesus is saying to Martha, "Martha, you don't want to miss me while I'm here. I am the bread of life. You need just to slow down and listen." So, did Mary listen? Did she take the rebuke that Jesus gave her, which was a rebuke? Well, I think if we look at the second passage, Martha, Act 2, in John 11, we'll see what transpires. In John 11, chapter 11, we hear the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, dying, and Jesus coming to raise Lazarus from the dead. But the story begins with Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, sending a message to Jesus. By that time, he was probably 2 days away. He was further north. Bethany is near Jerusalem in the south. And they say to Jesus, they send the messenger saying, Lazarus, your dear friend, is really sick. And notice, it's sort of like a prayer. They don't tell him what to do. They just say, this is what's happening, Lord. Do with it what you want. But I think they want what we would want, for Jesus to drop everything and come to Bethany at once. But he doesn't do it. He stays 2 more days. He stays long enough so that when he finally gets to Bethany, he does go, and he has a purpose in going. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And in Jewish thought, 3 days, the fourth day someone's dead, they're really dead. And Lazarus is really dead. So when Jesus arrived, Martha, of course, you would expect it, is the first one out the door. And she says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. A little blame here, you think? After all, she'd seen Jesus in action. She knew he could heal. That's why they sent their message to Jesus about Lazarus' illness. But then she does add this little caveat. She says, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. In other words, she doesn't know what she's saying, I don't think. But she does know that Jesus is here. And that whenever Jesus is around, something good is liable to happen. But Jesus doesn't rebuke her for saying, you know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He just turns to her and has this amazing conversation with Martha, who is the busy one. He says to her, you know, your brother is going to rise again. And Martha answered, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. First of all, Jesus says to her, your brother's going to rise from the dead. And at this stage, Martha doesn't know what Jesus has planned or what he's going to do, but she does know that there's going to be a resurrection from the dead. And not all Jewish people believed this. There was a debate going on about this. The Sadducees, the leaders in the temple, the ones in charge, thought that when you die, that's it. And they had a discussion with Jesus about this, in fact. But Jesus and the Pharisees, another group of Jewish leaders, believed that indeed there was going to be the resurrection from the dead, because there were some passages in the Old Testament that said so. For instance, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 26:19, your dead shall live, their bodies will rise. Those who dwell in the dust will awake and shout for joy, for your dew is a radiant dew, and the earth will give birth to those long dead. And then Daniel, the book of Daniel, he has visions, and an angel said to him, it's recorded in chapter 12, at that time Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, and everyone who is found written in the book of life will rise. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead the many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. Martha knows this. She's learned this. she believes that there's going to be a resurrection on the last day. But then Jesus continues with this amazing statement. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life." Whenever we see the words "I am," especially in John's gospel, we're supposed to think of Moses at the burning bush, where God says, "I am who I am." When Jesus uses the words, "I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life," we're supposed to think he's claiming to be God. And so to Martha, he is saying, "I am the one in charge of eternal life and death. I hold that power in my hands." And he says these words to Martha, that he's in charge in life and death, even though he knows her brother is lying dead in a tomb not far away. Then Jesus turns and says, "Martha, do you believe this?" Did Martha understand what he was saying, do you think? Not completely, because we see later when they go to Lazarus' tomb and Jesus wants the stone rolled away, practical Martha says to him, "Jesus, my brother's been dead for 4 days. It's going to smell. Don't go there, Jesus." But at that point, when he first says, "Do you believe this?" she made this amazing confession. She says, "I believe, Jesus, that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Just as she knew and believed that there was going to be a resurrection, she believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. All those titles that had been made and prophesied in the Old Testament. She knew these scriptures. She didn't have the complete picture yet, but what do we know? I think we know that at this point, she had been listening too. She had been listening in a way she had not been listening before. She had slowed down at some point from her frantic serving and ministrations, and she'd learned from Jesus. In fact, she was able to make a confession that was nearly parallel to what Peter makes when Jesus asks him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then, I mean, it's just amazing, I think, that he says this to Martha. Then Martha runs to tell Mary that Jesus has arrived. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here and is asking for you." One of the commentators I read in getting ready for today mentioned that this sentence, "The teacher is here and he's asking for you," should be engraved on every pew, every table, in every church. The teacher is here and he's asking for you. The rest of the verses in John 11 relate how Jesus raised Lazarus, and we learn that, of course, the repercussions are enormous. On the one hand, the miracle prompts many people to believe in Jesus. On the other hand, Jesus' enemies, this miracle only confirms the fact that they need to put Jesus to death. So we know his crucifixion is imminent. But what about Martha? In John 12, we read this. 6 days after Passover, before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, perfume, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Well, here we've come full circle. There's another dinner party. And at the house, at the home of Martha and Bethany, Lazarus is sitting probably right next to Jesus, being served, who they are being served. Mary, again, is at Jesus' feet, showing this amazing act of love to Jesus himself. And where is Martha? She is serving. She is still serving. However, this time, there's no complaining. There had to have been as many guests, but she doesn't seem to be worried about many things, nor does she seem to stress that Mary is off ministering to Jesus in her way. Instead, I think Mary is confident in her serving and her preparation. She's confident in her own gifts because she has listened to Jesus. And I think at this point, without a doubt, she knew that the Lord for whom she used her gift of hospitality and who raised her brother from the dead was indeed the resurrection and the life. What can we learn from friends like Martha? Often we hear the question, are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you the contemplative Mary who sits at Jesus' feet? Are you the Martha who runs around and can't sit down, can't sit still, trying to get everything prepared? Well, I think other useful questions might be for all of us, whether we're Mary, Martha's, or somewhere in between. Three questions. Are you using the gifts that God has given you to praise and honor him? Are you willing to grow and change directions when he asks you to, when he rebukes you? And are you listening to Jesus more and more? In the end, I think Martha could answer all those questions with a yes. She knew that all of our gifts are different, but that as we listen to God, he will use all of us differently, changing us in the process for his glory. I want to close, let me just move over here, close with, I think, a great summation of Martha from a Presbyterian minister named Ellsworth Callis. He has a whole chapter on Martha, but I'm just going to read the last part. He says, Meister Eckhart, the great scholar and Christian mystic of the late Middle Ages, was so taken with the qualities he saw in Martha that he portrayed her as the ideal woman. This is quite fascinating since Eckhart taught as a goal of the Christian life a total detachment to earthly matters. But he was not alone. Over the centuries, artists have gone from depicting Martha in the Dutch Renaissance style of kitchen worker to presenting her as an example of life devoted to Christ through prayer and ministering to others. Fra Angelico painted her into the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. While the other three disciples fell asleep, Martha is praying. Later legends picture her as a vegetarian, leading her an ascetic life, becoming the head of a convent, always preaching, healing the sick, even to the point of raising a dead person who longed to hear her preach. But with all the legends that have grown around her, Martha's best story is just being Martha. She was the soul of hospitality, a bit flustered on occasions and able to succumb to self-pity, a quality most of us know something about. But she wanted terribly to please her Lord. And when the showdown came at the death of her brother Lazarus, she spoke with the language and perhaps the authority of Peter. She knew her Lord in all his glory, and I can't think of any apostles who knew better.
Okay.
Should we pray?
Let's
pray before we end. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so patient with us, and that even though we are busy with many things, we ask that you would give us hearts that want to listen more than anything else, to grow and to change for your glory. We pray that you would use our different gifts in different ways. And we thank you for the example of your servant Martha, who did believe that you were the resurrection and the life. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, you are free.
Free. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your color. You know that.
I wonder if it recorded.
Well, it was recorded. Let's see.
Good.